nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Next part of the agenda, we have Tian Shiva, who's in some sense the lead core developer in my group. He's going to be giving an introduction, like a slow and gentle introduction, writing things out slowly so that you might actually have a chance of following it instead of flashing lots of equations by, to how to write a model first on paper, then how to put it into MATLAB, and how to run it in our current 3-alpha version of MVE. And Tianchi will be talking for, you know, maybe about an hour. And after that, Bijan sitting in the back over there in the t-shirt, and he will talk about how to write entire systems of equations, such as the systems of equations for an entire circuit, without necessarily using compact models directly in MATLAB and use it in our environment. And he'll also explain why that can be of some use to those of you who are dealing with such new kinds of devices that it is unclear to you whether a compact model even makes sense or what it is. So at very early stages, using this thing that Bichan will be talking about can make some sense. All right, with that, on to Tianchi.
Okay, thank you, Judge. Thank you for this introduction to this talk. Today, let me provide you with a very initial and brief introduction to this Berkeley model development environment. And in short, we call it MDE. We made our pre-alpha release on NanoHub last October, and then updated a little bit last November. And some of you may have attended the NEES teleseminar on last November on Webex. This is basically the same presentation as that one. And this time I will also be focusing on electronic devices. But this time I will be adding in some, I will be talking a little bit more about the convergence issues in simulation with electrical devices. Because I know some of you may already run into such convergence issues. So I'm going to show you what you can do in your compact model to help improve the convergence of your model. So as a start, I'm going to run MDE in my local installation. It is pretty much the same as the NanoHub one. We did make some changes to it since the last update. Those changes include like the we added the MVS model from MIT into the MDE. Those changes together with the scripts I'm going to run today, together with the scripts I'm probably going to write on the fly today, will be released on NanoHub very soon after this workshop. So they will be made available to you guys. So as a start, let's just open a terminal and run MATLAB. This is the MATLAB in the command mode version, but it's basically the same as the GUI version. So some of you may already used this MDE in NanoHub, so you may have recognized there are some installation descriptions here, which is exactly the same as what you will see on NanoHub. And this MDE is auto started with NanoHub, which is also with MATLAB, as it does on NanoHub. So just by following this instruction, let's type this help MDE here. So you will see some help topics. You can go inside and look at each of them just by again typing help, just some random one of them, maybe devices. Then you will see all the supported devices, available devices in MDE. And you can also see how to run analysis, how to write a circuit netlist just by using this help system. So in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all of them, but during this presentation, I will be using this help system extensively. In this way, I hope to make you guys also familiar with this help system and how you can facilitate your compact modeling development using the help system in MDE. Okay, so let's move back to this handwritten file. So a little recap about, so this is maybe number one, a little recap about what is a compact model. So a compact model is the model you use in simulation. And normally not just to simulate one device, but to simulate like thousands or even millions of devices connected together. So it is used in simulation. It's in not just simulation, but it's a system level simulation. So that's why your model has to be both accurate and compact. And the idea of a compact model is completely general. So it may not necessarily be in the electrical engineering domain. It may not have has voltages or currents. It can be for example, spintronic devices, optical devices. It can be a mechanical MEMS device, or even a neuron or chemical reaction. And later today, we will be hearing about the development of such devices from various students in various groups. So the idea of compact model is general, and the on our MDE does support its generality just by providing the simulator what is the unknowns in your compact model and what are their relationships. Relationship basically means provide some equations. And in this way, you can model your compact model and you can do kind of a multi-physics simulation using MDE. But today, we are focusing on electronic devices, which is what we call a compact model in electrical engineering domain. And instead of simulating it on some completely general system, electronic devices are simulated in circuit simulation. And instead of general unknowns, we normally have concepts like voltages and currents in an electronic device. We have equations which is from device physics. And normally KCLs and KVLs to form the device equations. So this is the electrical engineering domain model. And you can think of a electronic device as a black box with terminals. And in this case, there are terminal 1, 2, 3, 4. And associated with each terminal, there is a electrical quantity. For example, in this case, there are V1, V2, V3, V4, and there are currents floating into the I1, I2, I3, I4. So these are the electrical properties, and in our compact model, we want to provide a relationship between these electrical properties. And in this case, what electrical properties are we interested in? For example, we are interested in I1, I2, and I3. We don't necessarily need to know I4 because we know in electrical engineering domain, I4 is just the opposite of the sum of the other three currents. And we are interested in V14, which is V1 minus V4, V24 and V34. In this case, only three voltages because the performance of your compact of your electrical device should also rely on the relative voltages between the nodes. So here we are interested in this device. We are interested in these electrical quantities, and just by providing equations for these electrical properties, we can write our compact model. So let's start with a solid example. For example, let's do this for a resistor. So a resistor has two terminals. Terminal, just gave it some random name, for example, positive and negative. And in the middle, there is a resistor, R. And associated with this two terminal device, we have a VPN and IPN, the two electrical properties. And here in your compact model, you have to specify what are the terminals. And in this case, the terminals are P and N. And what are the, in order to say what's the relationship, we have to provide some kind of equation. And here we can write equation in such a way that we can write equations, the very basic resistor equation, for example, like this. And here we write IPN explicitly as some function of VPN. So in this case, you can model it as, you can say, the explicit output in this case is IPN. And here we have a parameter R. So this is you have to specify a parameter for this model, which is R. And in order to describe this equation, you have to give your compact model a function. And in this case, we call it F. And F is just VPN divided by R. So after specifying all of these fields in your model object, then you have sort of completely specified your compact model for this simple resistor. Now let's move to the actual code in MDE. In MDE, we model our compact models in a language or in a format called ModSpec, which stands for model specification. So here, let's see, resistor. So here is what you do in MATLAB to model this resistor. So you first, each model in electrical engineering domain will start with this EE model and finish with this finished EE model. And in the middle, you can add various fields to this model by calling this add to EE model. And in order to see what fields you can add, you can go to help system and type, for example, you can type EE model, but here I'm going to say add to EE model. And it will show you what are the names and functions and what are the fields and field values available for this function. So here we add terminals, which is P and N, explicit outputs and the parameters. And here we give F a function handle, and the function is implemented on line, is implemented here, which is VPN divided by R, just as we have written out here. So once you have something like this, you can very quickly write a little routine to basically evaluate this F and the various VPNs and plot the IV curve of this resistor. And in this case, it's just a linear relationship. This may seem very trivial to you because this is just a resistor, but note that we are plotting the IV curve without even putting this into a circuit, right? If you are modeling this in Verilog A, this is not something you can normally do, but with the capacity of MATLAB, you can quickly test your implementation right away after you created this ModSpec object. Okay, so that's so much for resistor. So let's take it one step further and let's do the same for a diode. A diode is also a two-terminal device. It also has two terminals and two electrical quantities associated with it. So here, this is a diode. So we specified in a very similar way. We set up terminals, explicit outputs, and in this case, we know that explicit output, the diode, the simplest diode equation is something like this exponential of VPN divided by thermal voltage minus 1. So this is the simplest diode equation. And in this case, there will be parameters like IS and VT. And here, instead of specifying this linear function F, this is our F for diode ModSpec object. Sorry. So let's move to the code and see how this is implemented in MDE. And again, it starts with this EE model and finishes with this finished EE model. And in the middle, there are two parameters and the function handle F. The function is implemented here, which is exactly what I wrote down in that handwritten script. Okay, and again, we can write a little routine to test this and plot the IV curve without even putting it into a simulator. Question? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. You can stop me anytime. Yeah, because this should be a very hands-on tutorial. Yeah. Oh, yes, those are default values. So currently for parameters, we support giving it a name and a default value. And later on, we may also support giving it a unit. So it will be better for plotting and all the other routines. And we may also support giving it a range. So you can check when you are setting it. So currently it's just a default, name and a default value. And you can set it, later on by calling this, how about this? Let me show you something. Okay, so this is a diode mod spec wrapper. This is the code we just seen. So after running this, we will get an object. So let's take a look at this object. This object actually has various fields. It has a usage, parameter names, default values, and it has some API functions such as get params and set params. You can call these functions, and these are all documented. And this is the general compact model I'm talking about. And in the code I'm showing you, this is called a mod spec wrapper. If you notice the name, it is a wrapper around this general format, specifically designed for electrical engineering model. Okay, so that's so much for diode. And up to this point, we have been dealing with memoryless devices, so we can specify the relationship just by using some algebraic function. But potentially we can have a memory inside of our device. So for example, if we have a capacitor, is also a two-terminal device, so let's copy this. It has this VPN and IPN associated with once you name your terminals P and N. And it has a parameter which is C, the capacitance. But this time, instead of writing your IPN equals some algebraic function, you have to write a d by dt term. It is d by dt C times VPN. So you cannot create this object just by setting an F field. Instead, you have to set a Q field in your mod spec. Oh, Q here, in this particular case means charge. But, this Q term, even though it almost always means charges in electrical engineering domain, but this Q term is actually more general than that. It can be a flux, it can be even outside of electrical engineering domain. It's just what is inside that d by dt term, what is getting differentiated, and this part, this function will be the Q in your model. So let's take a look at this code for this capacitor. So it has very similar structure, and except that instead of setting an F, here we are setting a Q term, and the Q is implemented here using C times VPN. Question? Mm-hmm. Yes. But here today we are focusing on these electronic devices. But it is possible, and actually we will be hearing from that this afternoon by some students working on optical and spintronic devices. We will hear about that very soon. Because electronic devices is something that is well understood, and is a very solid starting point. So let's start from this EE model. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. This is the DAE format. It's a differential algebraic equation format. This format is very general in dynamic systems. And also, it has very good numerical properties. You can run different kind of analysis on it. And this is also what SPICE formulates is equations, and what I believe almost all simulators today formulate the equations. So we write our models in this format. It is called DAE. And then later in this talk, Bi-Chen will be talking about a more general DAE API we have for simulation and running analysis on it. Are there any other questions? Okay. Sure. Yes, as I said, the concept of compact model is general. You just have to specify what are your unknowns and what is the equations. And when you're writing your equations, you can, of course, use whatever. You can use state space, you can use scattering matrix and S parameter, H parameter, basically everything you can write. And you may not be able to always express some electrical property like I in terms of others, right? So instead of, these are very simple ones, so I can say explicit output is IPN. So it's perfectly fine if there's no explicit output and if you just provide an implicit equation. So does that answer your question or? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so you want to know the very details of, so we have, so
I
this.
Want to know if you always have to have quantities
and quantities. No, you don't. So for example, so this is, we have an equation engine for this, we actually have several equation engines for building an electrical domain, a circuit, basically. By how to connect these nodes of electronic device together and form a circuit, form a larger DAE. We also have equation engines like how you can do a reaction rate equation, basically connecting chemical reactions together. And in that case, there's no concept of KCL or KVL. It is the node is not a node like this. You can define other quantities for the node, and that we call it a network interface layer. And we are still developing this network interface layer for various domains, so it's not completely finished yet. But this is this framework we will support. So if you want to look inside of equation engines, maybe later on we can have the discussion over that. So back to the capacitor. So now you have So instead of plotting against that I function, you can plot the Q V curve just by evaluating that Q function using various voltages and plot something like this. Again, this seems very trivial. It's a linear capacitor. But in your model here, the implementation of this is quite general. You can develop some general device by setting some random function, setting some novel equations for your device. And here you have all the capabilities, all the flexibilities of MATLAB in your compact modeling. So that's for a capacitor. So let's take very small steps one at a time. So we can have a diode with a capacitor. Because in the previous models, we can have F term, we can have Q term. So this is to show that you can have both of them inside of your device. So if there is a diode with a capacitor, whether this capacitor comes from depletion or diffusion or anything, or maybe just a physical capacitor. So in this case, we are still dealing with two terminal devices. It has two terminals. And it has parameters, three more parameters in this case. And we can write the equations like this is d by dt, c times vpn. Plus the equation for the diode. Plus this term. So in this case, instead of specifying Q or F, we have to specify both of them. So in this Q is C times VPN, and we have specify F, which is this diode equation. So let's move to the code and see how this is implemented. So we see here on line 10 and 11, we set both of the fields, and we implemented them on the bottom. So up to this point, we are dealing with two terminal devices. And in, in this case, f and q are both scalar functions. So how about we have more terminals? For example, we have a MOSFET. And the simplest MOSFET model I can think of is the Shikman-Hollis model. Which has three terminals. D, G, and S. And associated with these three terminals, there will be VDS, VGS, and the terminal floating into terminal D, which is IDS and also IGS. So the Shikman-Hollis model is just, you can write IDS equals if condition. So if VGS is smaller than some threshold voltage, then basically the MOSFET is off, so it's zero. This is the simplest MOSFET model. And if VGS is greater or equal than threshold voltage, but if this VGS minus is say smaller than not smaller, let's say it's greater than VDS, this is VGS minus. So you can find it in almost every introductory book on MOSFET. Minus. Let's move it a little bit to the side. VDS. So graphically, you can think of it. So this is region one when this is a VDS, this is IDS, this is region one when the MOSFET is off. This is the region two when the VDS is not larger than some value controlled by VGS. So it looks like something like this. And when it is larger, it will be looking like. Something like this, which is in this region. Let's say this is region 3, this is region 2. So this is 2, this is 3. So it has a characteristic curve, something like this. And also you have to specify a function for equation for IGS. And in the simplest Shikman-Hollis model, IGS is always equal to 0. So now instead of having a function f, which is a scalar function, we have this whole part as an f function. And in this case, there are terminals will be d, g, s, and there will be parameters and explicit outputs. In this case, it's a vector of size 3. It's IDS and IGS. And the f term in this case will be a vector function. It will be this vector function as we specified here. So let's call it some vector function Shikman-Hollis of vector VDS and VGS. So this is how you specify a model like this in a MOSFET. So this is the code for it. And again, we are specifying a function handle for f. And this f is implemented down below. So we can also plot just by writing a double for loop and evaluating VDS and VGS and various values. So in this case, without even putting it into a simulator, we can always double check whether our implementation is accurate, is correct. As in the introductory slides, Jagjit showed, it's always good to check every step when you are doing a compact model. Okay, this is for the basic Schickman Hodges. Now up to this point, let's see, we have these models and what do we do with them? So we can, of course, we want to build a circuit using them and try to run it in MDE and see whether the implementation of these models are okay. So let's build a simple circuit using them. So we have a built-in device for voltage source, we call it V1. Just some circuit, for example, like put a resistor here, R1, and let's make this nonlinear just by putting something, for example, a diode here, this is D1. And in this circuit, we will have two nodes, which we can call them N1 and N2, and it has a ground node. We can call it some number, we can call it 0, we can call it ground. And let's try to write this circuit in MDE and run some analysis on it. How to do that? Okay, so let's this is the diode resistor circuit. So let's write it right here. So in order to know how to do that, well, you can always start with help MDE. And in these help topics, there is a MDE netlist. If you type help MDE netlist, so there are informative information. So basically you specify a circuit by specify some MATLAB structure. This structure has to have a field called CKT name and node names, ground names, and then you call this add element to add various element into it. So let's write, say, netlist.ckt name equals some name. For example, in this case, this is a voltage source, there's a diode, there's a resistor. So this is the name for the circuit, and netlist.node names. And in that documentation, we can see this is a cell array of strings. And in this case, we have written there are two nodes, N1 and N2. And the circuit also has to have a ground name, ground node name, which is a string. And in this case, we can call it GND. And now we have a circuit with no element in it. So let's add in some elements. How to add an element? There are some examples. For example, you can copy and paste this thing. Netlist dot equals add element netlist. Using this resistor mod spec is written in the general format. And let's use the wrapper one we just seen. Mod spec wrapper. And the name R1 is okay. And the connection is from node 1 to node 2. And let's give it some parameter number. Maybe 1000 may not be a very bad number. And then let's add another element we just built. For example, the diode. It is called D1. It is between N2 and ground. And let's just use the default parameter. And we also need a voltage source. Let's just use the this is between N1 and ground. For a voltage source, in the parameter field, there's no parameter. And in the there's a U info field. You can find all of this information just by you want to know how to use this add element, you just type help add element, and there will be some information telling you how to use this function. So here we give it some field. For example, we set DC value equals maybe 1. Then after all this, we will have a circuit. Oh,
So I have to add pass so I can access this circuit. What is this called? It's called a new dial rise circuit. New. Let's make it a function which returns this this netlist structure. Okay, let's call this function. So it returns this structure. Now let's, which has these various fields and elements. So you can, using the facilities in MATLAB, you can display the elements here. So for each element, there's a name, there's a model, which is a mode spec object. There are node connections, there are parameters. So now we have a circuit. And how do we run analysis on this circuit? So let's see, help MD analysis. So these are the analysis available currently in MDE. You can run an operating point, a DC sweep, an AC, and a transient. And let's first try an operating point. So the way to run operating point, of course, you can read the document, but in the interest of time, I just write some object is equals this dot OP. This dot OP will work on a DAE, which will be built by an equation engine. So we can use equation engine. We have examples for this usage. The circuit is called new dial race circuit. So we will run a DC operating point on it, and by evaluating the DC OP dot print, and give it DC OP, and it will print the operating points of this circuit. So N2, which is the voltage across the diode, is something near 0.5 volt, which is kind of reasonable. So we can run other analysis on it. For example, you can run AC or a transient. We still have some time, so let's try a transient analysis on it. So to run a transient analysis, you have to specify the transient source for this voltage. So instead of just giving it DC equals 1, you give it another field, which is transient. Let's see. Here it should be a function handle. For example, we call it tran-func. And here is the arguments for this function. So let's implement this function here, tran-func equals add t and some arguments. For example, let's say a sine args. Let's make it more general by, it's tunable by the arguments times a sine 2 pi times args dot f times t. So now we have some transfer function, which is a function handle. You can give it to the add element statement and add this to the circuit. And you have to have a tran args. And in this case, we can give it some value dot the amplitude is 1. And the frequency is, it doesn't really matter. And now we have this netlist. Then we use this new netlist with the new input information. And create a DAE object. And again, we can run a operating point, and this time let's run a transient. Actually, even I forget about how to run it all the time, so let's check this help.transient. Help.tran is another name for help.transient. So in the C also field, you can see that. And there are example code you can cut and paste. If I cut and paste this one, it will run an RC line circuit instead of the circuit of myself, of the one I just built. So let's run a transient analysis by citing by using this basically. And we copy this code, cut and paste. It will run a transient analysis with this T start and up to 5 milliseconds. Yeah. Yes. Yes. No, it's pretty compatible with the SPICE netlist. If you specify a DC value, it will be used in DC operating point analysis. If you specify a transient, then the transient will be used in the transient analysis. And there are some other defaults for SPICE, which we have also implemented. For example, if you don't have a DC, but you have a transient function specified, it will use the T equals zero value for DC operating point analysis. So, Yes. Yes, yes. No, this is just the circuit. It will create a netlist structure. And when So I have to run the analysis by myself by calling this .op or .tran. If you're calling it first by .op then .tran, then you will do the DC first and then the transient next. So this is how it works. But this transient simulation may not be very interesting because this is a circuit without memory. So maybe we can very quickly add some memory into it just by using the capacitor we just built. It's in parallel. Let's draw it here. So called C1. So the circuit becomes something like this. And let's give it some value, for example, 1e minus 3. And let's build this circuit again. And you can run a transient again. So in this time, you will actually see some delay in the waveforms. And note that here in this file, we are using this resistor MOSFET wrapper, diode MOSFET capacitor MOSFET wrapper, which we have seen previously. Oh, where is the? Let me see. So R is 1 kilo. Oh, okay, this for the time constant to match, this really should be something like this. But basically, you can see that you can run different kinds of analysis on the circuit we just built using the model we just saw, which consists of only a few lines of MATLAB code. And here, let's do something which we haven't seen in the last title seminar. For example, if I want to do a DC operating point analysis, but instead of setting this to 1, I set it to, for example, 10. So you have a very high voltage on this diode, and I see what happens. Because the diode model, so let's first update this DAE, and we run a DC operating point analysis on this one. Okay, so we are getting all kinds of errors here. And why does this happening? Okay, it basically says matrix is close to, is very badly scaled and things like that. So we can further debug it by setting some signals in .op statement. So you can actually find out all those options you can set by just typing help.op. And this .op accepts the DAE object. It accepts the initial guess and options. And options are optional. You can set debug level, you can set maximum iterations, you can set all kinds of other things. So let's let's just set debug level to 2. And let's limit the amount of iterations it is taking, because otherwise we won't be able to see anything. Max iter to let's say 5. So we will run 5 iterations, and it will print out something which is very valuable. For example, it will print out the x, which is it's using this x, it is evaluating the DAE. In the DAE, you can there are DAE API functions documented. You can call DAE API functions to get the names for these unknowns. For example, in this case, the first unknown is just the voltage of N1, second voltage of N2, and the third one being the current flowing through the current source, the voltage source. And we are evaluating on first. So on the very beginning, there is a warning saying there is no initial guess available because we didn't provide it. And so it is using a zero vector. So it starts from all zeros, and the next step, it jumps to some value. So you can see in the middle, this is the EN2, this is the voltage, and N2, which is across the diode, it becomes 10 volt. A 10 volt is very large for a diode, and it will very quickly result in very poor numerical behaviors in the simulation. So if you encounter something like this, basically your diode model, your model is not converging in simulation. So what you can do with it? So there are many things you can do. For example, I can always give it an initial guess, a more reasonable initial guess than all zeros. For example, in this case, if I use 0, 0, 0, it will break. But we know that the approximation for the voltage of N2 is something maybe near 0.7, which is reasonable for a diode. And if you run it, you actually succeed. And let's print it. But this is not the recommended. Oh, by the way, the actual voltage across that diode is 0.57 something. So this is what people normally do in SPICE or all kinds of simulators. By setting some initial guess for the node voltages or branch currents, by setting this system level solution, initial guess, we can achieve a better convergence. But this is not something that can be very easily done if you are dealing with a very large circuit. For example, if you have, I have another 2 diodes here, then what should I set to this, the initial guess for this? Is this 1.4? Is it 0.7? So it becomes very tricky to do. And also, in a real circuit design, there can be PN junctions and all the other MOSFETs, BJTs everywhere, all over the place. So it's very difficult to do this and the system circuit level. And another thought is that this 0.7, this initial guess, should really come from your device model, because as a people in compact modeling, you know your device better than other people. So this shouldn't come from this circuit system level solution. And another thing you can do, so we know what is causing the problem. If we go back to that diode model, I may run heavily out of time, but I think this is worth it if you guys are okay with it. So what we are seeing here is there's this exponential which is causing all the problem. So another thinking would be I can just change this exponential to something else. For example, I can change it to a limited version of this exponential, and I just implement it here. So y equals some limited version of exponential. And I can set, for example, breakpoint. So let's go to that handwritten file. A limited version of exponential, the easiest way to implement it is you have an exponential which is growing faster and faster. Then at some point, you just linearize it. From this point on, just use a linear function to approximate it. So this is what people normally do in simulators in their models when it doesn't converge. So let's first set some breakpoint and say if x is greater than this breakpoint, Well, if it is smaller, then we certainly y equals exponential of x, which is the same. But if it is greater, then y equals the linearized version of it. So it is exponential breakpoint. This is the slope times how far away x is from this breakpoint, and plus this. So if you plot something like this, you will get the linearized exponential that I just showed you. So another remark here is that you can very quickly just change your model in MDE and see whether it works. So let's update my DAE and again run this operating point. This time I just delete the initial guess. Okay, so it also converges. Then let's print it, print the solution. So it converges, but this time it converges to something, to some other value. And how, so basically the model is not accurate anymore. So how does this happen? So if you, we know that what, in the diode model, we are having a, what is inside exponential is this voltage divided by a thermal voltage, which is by default this minus one. So in this case, what is inside exponential is about 36. Basically, we have fall into the linearized part. So the model is not accurate in this area. So that's why you are converging into a not accurate solution. So a very easy fix would be I just change it breakpoint to something else and then run it again. It also converges. And let's print it. And now this time I converge to the correct value. But this is what people will normally do in Verilog A because they have to tweak their equations when the model doesn't converge. By tweaking this, their equations, there is a chance that you may mess things up. For example, if you, we didn't do it carefully, then we result in some inaccurate circuit simulation. So this is not something we recommend. And what we are recommending is that you can add two convergence aid facilities inside of your model. So it is called initialization and limiting. So it's called init and limiting. Initialization is easier to understand. It just provides some initial guess for the unknowns of your model. So instead of doing something like this, let's delete this. I still use this exponential, but in this time, I add another variable into the system, and the variable is called here we call a limited variable. And we call it VPN lim, which is the limited version of VPN. And so you can find all this in help add to EE model. So you can find init and limiting related fields. You can provide limited variables, and you have to provide a relationship between this limited variable and your original unknowns. In this case, the unknowns is the electrical properties that cannot be written out explicitly. In this case, it's VPN. So we have to provide a limited matrix between these two properties. And in this case, it's just one, which basically means without initialization and limiting, then this VPN lim will strictly equal to VPN. And here, instead of evaluating this exponential using VPN, we evaluated using VPN lim. So up to this point, there's no real action. So if I run it, it will still fail. But the thing is, we can add other fields to it. For example, if I add init guess, and I implement this init guess function, in a very similar way of this alpha of x. So I can just say alt equals 0.7. But a better idea would be in SPICE, here we actually use some critical voltage for a PN junction, and this critical voltage comes from the parameters. I think it's VT times, you can very easily Google this just by critical voltage of a PN junction. Just by some parameter handling. It's 2. Okay, so I give this as the initial guess for this system. So now I run it. It's a small s. Let's see what is going on. Limited variable, limited matrix. And you need guys return this. It's still using this, so it's not set up properly. Limited variable is called limited matrix is 1. And here we are using this limited variable to evaluate it. And we create this VT times log VT divided by square 2 times S. Okay, so there's a mistake here. So there's a bracket here. Okay, so it is doing something. So let's remove this max iter analytic finish. And let's print. So this time it actually succeeded. And in order to see the details why it is succeeding, let's again set this debug level to 2. And you can see it still starts from this thing. But this is the initial guess for the system, which is all zeros. But it is not evaluating this diode using this zero. Instead, it is evaluating this diode using the value with that critical voltage we just gave it. So initialization can help improve the convergence. And another thing we can do is called limiting. Limiting basically means, so instead of giving it an initial guess field, we give it a limiting function. And let's implement the limiting function here. Limiting, if you look into SPICE, it uses some function called PNJLim. So that is because the convergence issue for PN junctions is known in the electrical engineering simulation community for a long time. So people have developed all kinds of different kinds of limiting function. For BJTs, for MOSFET, there are PNJLim, there are LimVDS, there are FETLim for MOSFETs. So there are all kinds of these convergence aid, which is actually hard coded in SPICE. But with MDE, you can actually give it and this compact model level. So this PNJLim, I think we first use the old value of VPN. And use VPN and use these two. Okay, so in order to see that limiting is actually working, let's disable this initial guess. Okay, so it is also working and actually taking a little bit more steps than using only initialization. And again, let's set debug level. So 2. So you can see from these all zeros, it wants to jump to this 10 volt. But instead of evaluating this diode directly on this 10 volt, it will call that limiting function to limit this 10 volt to some reasonable amount of number using that PNJ lim function. And it will evaluate on that value, so it will not numerically explode. So if you want to see what that limiting function is looks like, I believe I have some. Yes, I have some plot PNJ lim function. So this is just how the function looks like. It has some if else conditions. You can look inside SPICE, you can look inside MDE for this function. And in this case, of course, we can use both of them and see whether it will help with convergence. Well, it converges quite easily. In this particular case, initialization or limiting, not either of them can solve the problem. But in a real circuit design, if you have a lot of devices and convergence, you may really need all of them. So up to this point, what we have done? We have seen what is EE model, and it has to specify terminals. You have specified some explicit outputs. You have specified parameters. And with the electrical quantities as well as parameters, you can write your F and Q functions. And using that MOSFET, we actually show these F and Q are vector functions. After specifying all of these, you have a electrical engineering domain compact model. And if it is not converging, you may also need some other things like limited variables. You may need to set up an initial guess function, which returns an initial guess based on parameters or inputs. And you may also have to set up a limiting function. So these are the things that will dramatically improve your convergence. So you have all of these, then you have a electrical engineering domain compact model, and we have shown that using this compact model, we can write circuits, and as we just did, and we can run analysis on it, like DC, AC. Actually, if we had time, then I would like to do an AC. But probably not this time. So you can do all kinds of these things. Okay. But this is not the full picture. Because you may not always be able to, just like the question people asked previously, you may not always be able to write your explicit outputs in terms of the other electrical quantities. For example, if we take one step further on that Shikman-Hodges model, assuming we have a Shikman-Hodges model in the middle, but now we have some RD, some resistance on RS here. So it has terminals D, S, and G. You have the electrical quantities you are interested in, VDS, VGS, IDS, IGS. So, okay, this is number 7. This is a MOSFET with RSRD. So based on the previous MOSFET fields we have shown, we would like to write this explicit outputs IDS IGS equals some function. Of VDS and VGS. But can you do something like this? Maybe you can, by maybe you have to invert that Shikman-Hodges model, which has if else conditions, which may not be the thing you want to do. But in this case, we can simply handle this situation just by adding in some internal unknowns. For example, here if I define an internal unknown, which is the voltage across this RD, we call it VVRD, and the voltage across this RS, let's call it VRS. And with these extra unknowns, it will be quite easy to write this function. And let's write it here. So this sum function will become IDS. IGS in this case is still zero. But IDS in this case, the easiest way to write IDS, if you look at this schematic, IDS is just the current floating through this RD. So I can write IDS equals VRD divided by RD. But here we have on the right hand side, I have two electrical properties associated with terminals and two extra unknowns. So here we have to provide two extra implicit equations. And in this case, we can easily see the two extra implicit equations can be just the KCL and these two nodes. Let's call it X and Y. So this KCL and these two nodes. So the KCL and the X will be VRD divided by RD minus the Schickman-Hodges function we just wrote, the if-else condition of VGS, in this case is still VGS, but VDS, oh, I think VGS comes later. And VDS in this case has changed to VDS minus VRD minus VRS. So this is the implicit equation, which means if the simulator has solved this circuit with this compact model, then this equation will always equal to zero. And another one we can write similarly, KCL Y. Let's copy this. So basically it's this one minus VRS divided by RS. And this will always equal to zero. And now you have, and let's copy this one here. So now you have four equations here, and these two, instead of just calling it a single F, we call it explicit F, which is FV. And these two, we call it FI, which stands for the F term in the implicit equations. And we can also, if we add in some capacitors, there will also be a QE term and the QI term. So a full picture of this mod spec format will be, first you set up all the terminals, all the parameters, all the explicit outputs, and you may optionally, in this case, you will declare two internal unknowns. And in this case, the internal unknowns is VRD and VR. There are many ways you can declare other unknowns to solve this problem. VRD and VRS, you declare two internal unknowns, then you have to declare another two implicit equations. And you specify all of these FE, FQ, and FI, QI parts in your MATLAB code, then you have a more general electronic device. So let's take a look at this code. So let's just jump a little bit. We have a code more. What is this? Is the more general version of that MOSFET. It has all kinds of parameters, and in this case, we actually put in this these two capacitors that are shown, so that there will be a QE term and there will be a QI term, and there's a type associated with it. If you are interested, you can go on NanoHub and look at this function is actually there. And you specify your QI i5 part. If you look at i5 part, it's exactly what I just wrote. VRD divided by RD plus this I Shikman Hodges. So now you have a mod spec object with internal unknowns, with implicit equations specified. And you can run circuits on it. I think I have some circuits. Yeah, I have written this, actually Odysseus has written this script for running a transient simulation on a CMOS inverter built by that Shikman Hodges model. So a brief summary here. We have seen step by step how to build a mod spec MATLAB model in electrical engineering domain by specifying terminals and terminals, parameters, and everything. You can find them in the help strings in add to E model function. And you have in the diode and the resistor case, you have seen you can add a single F term into the model, which is a scalar. Okay, this is the plot for the inverter. You can have F, the F can be linear, it can be nonlinear. In the case of for the capacitor, you can have a Q term, which describes what is inside of the D by DT term, what is getting differentiated. And in the diode with cap term, cap capacitor case, you have both F and Q. And in Shikman Hodges model, we have seen that both F and Q can be vectors. And with the Shikman Hodges with RISRD example, we saw that instead of specifying just an F and Q, we can split this F and Q into FE, QE, FI, QI. So we have all these four functions. And the general format is you write your equation in this way, your explicit output will equal to d by dt qe, which is a vector, plus fe, which is another vector, and 0 equals d by dt qi plus fi. So this is the general format of how you write your mod spec object. And then in the small circuit you have built, you have seen you can actually use limited variables, and by providing limiting functions to it and the initialization functions to it, you can make it make the convergence properties improve. So this is a brief summary on my part. So now let's move to Yichen's part on how you can basically write directly write DAEs instead of building DAEs using equation engines.